There was a carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago on this earth, and he was from an obscure Roman province in a town called Nazareth. And at the age of 30, he put away his leather carpenter's apron and began to speak publicly throughout the countryside. Soon the entire region was astonished by his teaching and by the miraculous healings that he performed. The religious leaders, though, they saw their world spinning out of control, so they were determined to eliminate him. And they managed to take him from public view and to conduct a series of mock trials behind closed doors. They applied political pressure on the Roman governor to have Jesus quickly executed, and just 12 hours after his arrest, Jesus was hanging on a cross. 6 hours later, he was dead. He was seemingly a martyr to another glorious cause, but a hopeless cause. Jesus did not resist his arrest or his crucifixion. In fact, he had repeatedly foretold it to his followers. He told them his death would pay the ransom price for all people who were enslaved by sin, that whosoever will would be set free. And on the cross he prayed even for his executioners, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And he died. A Roman officer in charge of this gruesome event was so amazed at what had happened in the final hours that he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Jesus' death was at about 3 p.m., and by dusk, he had been buried nearby by a wealthy believer in a rock-hewn tomb, and through the rest of the day, and through the Sabbath, that's all day Saturday, his cold, wounded, lifeless body lay in rest in the cool darkness of the tomb. But early Sunday morning, some women arrived at the tomb to complete the hasty burial, and they found the stone rolled back and the tomb was empty, and an angel appeared saying, "He is not here, he has risen. Why seek the living among the dead?" This too had been foretold by his followers. And over the next 40 days, he appeared to his disciples several times. He even appeared to 500 at one time. In Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, we read about Jesus appearing to two disciples on a road. The text tells us in Luke 24, beginning in verse 13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." On this Sunday, these two disciples traveled to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and they walked together, probably returning from Passover, and it gave them the opportunity to talk. These were not famous apostles that were on this road walking. They were simple and half anonymous followers of Jesus. One is identified by name, Cleopas. But they conversed and reasoned. As they talked, they probably spoke of the things that were nearest to their heart at this time, all these things which had happened, the things regarding the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus came alongside these disciples and went with them for a while. Yet for a time, they were prevented from seeing who Jesus really was. And pick up in verse 17 of Luke 24, beginning, we read on and it says, "He said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this you are having with one another as you walk and are sad?' And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But they were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see.'" Jesus opened the conversation by asking them what they were talking about. From this, we can know that Jesus had walked silently with them for a while, just listening as they carried on their conversation. It was evident in their countenance and perhaps even their manner of walking that they were sad. Jesus knew both what they already knew and what they did not yet know. The men explained what they did know about Jesus. They knew his name and where he was from, Jesus of Nazareth. They knew he was a prophet. They knew he was mighty in deed and word. They knew he had been crucified. They knew that he was supposed to redeem Israel. They knew others had said he rose from the dead. These disciples had a hope that was disappointed. Their hope was not truly disappointed, but in some way their hope was misguided. It says that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Jesus would show them that their true hope was fulfilled in him and his resurrection. Just as the women had said, Jesus wanted to know from them what he wants to know from us today. Can we believe without seeing with our own eyes? We can believe, and we must believe based on the reliable eyewitness testimony of other people. As we continue reading in Luke 24, this time picking up in verse 25, we see how Jesus teaches them why the Messiah had to suffer. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These were common, simple men. They had lost hope. They had not lost desire. They still loved to talk about Jesus. They had not yet seen the necessity of him dying on the cross. But the text tells us, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus began to teach them what was surely one of the most amazing Bible studies ever taught. Beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he told them all about the Messiah. He told them that the Messiah was the seed of the woman whose heel was bruised, that he was the blessing of Abraham to all nations, that he was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, that he was the lion of the tribe of Judah, that he was the Passover lamb, the prophet greater than Moses, the son of David, who was a king greater than David. He was the suffering savior of Psalm 22. He was the shepherd of Psalm 23. He was the wisdom of Proverbs, the Savior described in the prophets and the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53, the King in Daniel who would establish a kingdom that would never be destroyed, the Savior who knows the Word of God perfectly, expounded to them in broad outline all the scriptures that referred to him. Let's pick up reading in Luke 24, verse 28, where Jesus is revealed to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The text tells us, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Jesus' identity is revealed here. As soon as their eyes were opened to who Jesus was, he left, and they both said their hearts burned within them as they heard him speak and teach. Can you imagine how great that was? And now verses 33 through 35 of Luke 24, they tell the good news. It says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So they rose up that very hour, it says, and returned to Jerusalem. After a 7-mile walk one way, they were so excited that they went 7 miles back. They had the passion to tell the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And now verses 36 through 43 of Luke 24, he appears to the 11, Jesus does. It says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food?' So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. 'Peace to you.' These were the words that had a whole new meaning. Now that Jesus had risen from the dead, now they could have true peace. True peace could be had between God and man. Jesus left this earth, promising to return. And within that same century, his disciples had traveled the world, spreading the good news. Still today, if people believe these facts and submit in obedience to the Lordship of the risen Savior, they can find forgiveness, freedom, and meaning. 2,000 years ago, in an instant, history changed forever. The human mortality rate that had held steady right about 100% skipped a beat as the Savior stepped out of the death statistics and into life. Death is no longer the last word for the followers of Christ. Life is. He died for us, and on the third day, he destroyed the power of sin and death. Because of him, we possess the greatest hope imaginable, a hope expressed in these words: God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face in certain days because he lives. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives." Peter writes this in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We can have hope because of that. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we read, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." And then in Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, Paul goes on to write, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth." Are you risen with him? Have you been buried with him in baptism? Thank you so much for listening to our radio program.